I love it. I love it. That's good. I love that song. I like it. I like it. Well, we've heard a great program this morning. Great singing by the kids and great singing tonight. We got a great Savior. I told you this morning on the message, this is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
It really is. And we'll try to give you just a few thoughts tonight if we can. And nothing, there's going to be nothing you don't already know. Might be some things we don't practice, but it's not nothing we don't know. And we know a lot of things we don't do. We're going to have to do better. Anyway, we're going to have to get some things lined out. Pray for Cheryl Ann. I miss my wife tonight. At all the 40, over 40 years, it's rare that she ain't with me. I miss her. She's not feeling well. In fact, it's rare Cheryl's ever sick. And but she got sick this morning, had to leave. So pray for her if you would. And because I need her. Lord knows I need her. So. All right. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come just now. Lord, you are most wonderful. What a time of a year we can celebrate you coming to earth. It should be every moment that you come for us. Lord, I think of what Jerry sings. We couldn't come to you, so you come to us. And Lord, I pray that we might not ever get over that. Thank you so much for it. Lord, help me now. Clear my mind. Give me a touch of thy Holy Spirit freshly just now. Lord, I got to have power. I can't do nothing. So Lord, if you'll touch me fresh, I sure will thank you. Speak to our heart with the simple word tonight. And Lord, I pray that we might go from this place being doers, not hearers. God, I pray that we might be obedient to your will, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to preach another Christmas message. I don't know that I ever preached as many Christmas messages in a row. Probably in all the 40 years that most have ever preached. But nevertheless, we're going to think about Christmas and think about the Christ of Christmas. You know, if you want to read about Christmas and the meaning of Christmas, Matthew chapter 2 will tell us. Luke chapter 2 will tell us. Titus chapter 2 will tell us. Hebrews chapter 2 will tell us. But we're going to look in Philippians chapter 2 and get the same message again. Philippians chapter 2. You think about that. Matthew chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, and now Philippians chapter 2. Now Christmas brings a lot of different feelings, attitudes, and a lot of different actions about around Christmas time that you don't normally see. You'll see the Scrooges turn into happy people just for a day, maybe two, but not often. But they'll turn and change. You'll see misers give out a little bit. You'll see people who usually just think of themselves be thinking of others. I mean, it brings out Christmas does mess with you. It should. It should change you. It's hard. It's hard to be growl around. I mean, you got to really study to be growly at Christmas time. I mean, I know there's Grinches. I know. I seen, who did I see a picture of? Oh, I seen, was it Abigail's little baby? Abigail's little baby cried at Santa Claus and let Grinch hold her. Now, I don't know who melted who. All right? But personally, I like the Grinch. All right? I like a certain person when they dress up like Grinch, and I like the story of the Grinch. But that makes you laugh, you know. I don't grab that attitude, but it makes me laugh. You know, even though I don't like Frosty the Snowman, I'll catch myself saying Frosty the Snowman was a jolly. Yeah, I'll catch myself saying, and I really hate Frosty the Snowman. I really do, because I don't like snow. And unless you're going to track a deer. Sometimes snow's good if you're going to track a deer. But it's a different time of the year. It brings attitudes. It brings good times. And most feel the need to give. Not everyone, but most, or for the most part, most feel the need to give or help somebody or share, and that's all great. Most people, now this is starting to change, but most people feel the need to gather, to get together. Now that's starting to change a little bit. It's starting to where people don't get together anymore. And that's okay, but I'm just saying, most people feel that need or feel that desire to get together. And that's the way we've always looked at Christmas. I was thinking last night and just thinking about Christmas, our Christmases, and stockings and fruit baskets. You know, y'all give me a fruit basket. Thank you for the fruit basket or the goodie basket. And I remember the treat bags at church. You had orange and apple. Two walnuts, mm-hmm. Yes. And a candy cane. Yes. Remember, anybody remember them? That was about it. An apple and orange, maybe a tangerine, but it was an apple and orange and two walnuts, yes, in the shell. Yes. That used to be, and a candy cane. That used to be the church treat, and everybody got one. Yes. They'd have boxes of them back there at the door, and the men would hand everybody a treat, and you couldn't wait to bust open them walnuts and eat the orange. I mean, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. Now, it wasn't like this when I was little. We had a little bit more, but I remember Daddy and Holly Ray and Mommy and all of them talking about one time that they got an orange for Christmas. They were so happy. They got one orange. That was all their Christmas gift. One year, Holly Ray said he got a pair of gloves. Now, I don't know where they was, white mule work gloves or what they was. I don't know what they was. They was a pair of gloves. But that was the way Christmas used to be. Used to be the trim on a tree was popcorn sewed together and things like that. And so we've come a long way. But it brings nostalgia and all these things Christmas time. But have you ever thought of how the Lord looked at Christmas? Have you ever thought of the way Jesus looked at Christmas? It's his day. Wonder how he looked at it. Wonder how he looked at what he was fixing to do. When we look through the eyes of the Lord. So I'm going to give you a thought tonight. Maybe Christmas like Jesus, maybe. That'd be a good title. Maybe you can remember that. Christmas like Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. Can we read it together? Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 11. All right? Give you just four or five thoughts here right quick. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, having made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So that is a Christmas scripture. You know, I didn't know that until I was studying this scripture, especially just for this message, that a lot of people used to call that a poem or a song. Verses 5 through 8, the Philippian song, the jailer song. I don't know about that, but I do know it talks about the story of Christ coming. What is Christmas? It's when God, what did I tell y'all? Was it last Sunday night? What is the real meaning of Christmas? It's the celebration of the event in time when God stepped out of heaven and stepped down to the earth to say, and in the form of his Son Jesus Christ, to save mankind from their sins. That's what Christmas is. Is that not what we just read? who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, being found in fashion, man humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Is that not the same thing?
Yeah.
That's the message, ain't it? That's the message of Jesus Christ. Christmas is the message of Jesus Christ. But how would he look at it? Well, if we're going to look at it through the eyes of the Lord, maybe, or the way this scripture is read, I'm going to give you, let's see, I got one, two, three, four, I got five thoughts here, real quick. Five thoughts that we can find right here. They're going to be alliterated. I'll start with an S. You can remember them. All right. You can remember them. Maybe an R at the end, Brother Rick. All right. That's a private joke. Years ago in the old sanctuary, I preached an alliterated message in Revelations. And I preached on, in the seven churches of Revelation, I was preaching on remember, repent, return, repent. And I was going to give another, and there's going to be rejoice. And I said joy. And he said, "You'll never forget." That's how I spell RRRJ instead of four R's. So that's always, so when I say something that I'm going to be alliterated, that I do that for Brother Rick's sake. All right, so he can see that I, just wait till I finish this college education. You just wait. One more semester and I'll have it. Let's look here just for a moment, all right? The first thing we're going to look at, let's look at verse 6. Now, verse 5 gives us an encouragement, you know, let this mind be in you. So maybe we ought to start looking at Christmas the way the Lord did. Maybe we can look at Christmas through His eyes. But verse 6, I believe, can start it out. Verse 6 says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." The first thing that we want to look at when we think of Christmas like Jesus, we're going to have to think of selflessness. Selflessness. You think about that, because that's what we have here. It's not when Jesus didn't come, so he would say, "Look at me," but he came because of him, but he didn't come with the big signs and everybody, "Look at me." Now, heaven announced he's coming. Heaven announced he's coming so much that the angels stopped everything and told everybody who he was. But Jesus didn't put on the dog himself. Can I tell you, he was selfless in everything that he done. Now, it wasn't just at birth. It was throughout his entire ministry, he practiced selflessness. It was always others. It wasn't him. If you'll read the scripture, when he didn't rest because there was others that needed help. He didn't eat because there was others that needed to be saved. Even when he was thirsty before, you know, I don't know that he ever did get that drink of water from the woman at the well. He asked for a drink. I don't know that he ever did get it. Because he got to talk to her about her soul. He sent the disciples to eat. When he brought back food, he said, "I got meat you don't know nothing of." He was always selfless in everything that he did. Can I tell you that if we're going to look at Christmas, that's the one thing we need to probably try to practice to have Christmas like Jesus, is just simply be selfless. Selflessness is going to have a good, it's a good thing for Christmas. You think that'd be all right? Can we just look at that? Ain't going to be much tonight, just a few thoughts. All right. See, his concern for others. Is that not why he came?
Yes.
He didn't come for himself. He didn't come to be Savior. Can I tell you that he was Savior before he created anything?
Right.
Do you realize that? That the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Before anything was created, he was Savior. So he didn't come to be that. So he created a creation to help him. He created a creation just to help him. That's pretty selfless. Is it not? Think about that. So that's the first thing I think about when I see about selflessness. I see about Christmas. Then let's look on. Let's look at verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Well, we're going to get a couple out of this one. How about surrender? We get that all through there in 6 and 7, both who being in the form of God. He was God. He was God in the flesh, was he not? But it says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him The form of a servant. Do you think about how much surrender that took? You know what he surrendered? He gave up a lot. Surrender means give up, does it not? It means to give up. What did he give up to have Christmas? What do we give up to have Christmas? You know, normally we really don't give up nothing to have Christmas. Now, we probably spend too much money. All right? I believe we can all agree that we spend too much money on frivolous things. Could you agree to that? We feel like we're obligated. And you can do that if we use some sense. But he surrendered. Well, what did he surrender? Well, you understand that he emptied himself. There's a big word for that. I can't say it, and you wouldn't understand it. But he emptied himself. Not of his deity. But when he surrendered, see, I don't know that we understand just what Christmas cost. Christmas cost heaven an awful lot.
Yes. Yes.
Now, we spend it on frivolous gifts, but heaven paid all that it had to bring the first Christmas. Are we all right with that? He stripped himself of these privileges. That's what emptying himself means. When he emptied himself, he took off, he done away with the privileges he had when he was in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give sometimes, and we'll give to where, man, I'm going to have to dip in savings. I wasn't planning on doing that for Christmas, but, you know. But now the Lord done further than that. He surrendered. He gave up his privileges. And what do you mean by privileges? Well, you realize that he chose to lay off a heavenly body to put on a human flesh. How hard was that? How much is that? We're going to put off a human body and put on a glorified body. He took off that to put on this. Ain't that giving a lot? It's backwards, ain't it? See, we get what he give. Think about that. Voluntarily, you understand. You know that he surrendered his privileges. He didn't use his power. You all know that he was all power, don't you? But he didn't use his power. For the first 30 years, he didn't use nothing. For the first 30 years, he held back everything and just lived a human life. For 30 years. And when he started showing who he was, he couldn't go over and blow everybody's mind. They couldn't understand it just when he said it. But he surrendered that. It would be hard to hold back, wouldn't it? Have you thought of any of these things, you know? Now, he never surrendered his deity, because he always said, I'm the Lord, and me and the Father are one. He always made sure of that. But he chose to experience us. You get that? He chose to experience being us. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I don't think that's a big deal. Huh? Is that a big thrill?
No.
Look what he left.
Right.
To be like us. But he had to be like us so we could be like him.
Right. Exactly.
Think about that. Huh? He chose to be tired. He surrendered. He surrendered the ability to never be tired, to never be hungry, to never be unloved, to never be rejected. He surrendered all that to come down and be tired and hungry and rejected and hated. But if he had stayed in heaven, none of that would ever happen. He kicked out the only troublemaker. Right? Did he not? He got rid of the troublemakers. Everybody there was perfect, and everybody there was on his side. You ain't never wanted for nothing. You understand that he come from a place that he never wanted for a thing?
Right.
He never needed rest.
Right. Right.
His body wasn't tired. He never hungered because his body never got... He surrendered all of that to come down and... Sometimes we got to give up some things to have Christmas like Jesus. Sometimes we're going to have to be selfless. Sometimes we're going to have to surrender some things and give up some things that we might have Christmas. We still okay? How about another? We got selflessness and surrender. How about verse 7? We go on and says, He took upon him the form of a what? Of a servant. Now we got ahead of ourselves there in the sense he's made in the likeness of men, but all this goes together. The form of a servant and the likeness of men. A servant of servants. He came to save. He came to help. Huh? He came to be obedient. He just came to serve. Understand now, God separated himself in a way to put on human flesh to be told what to do. Now we're talking about the God that spoke the world into existence. See, when we talk about what I got for Christmas, if anybody ever asks you what you get for Christmas, just tell them Jesus. That's what you get for Christmas.
Amen.
You got the greatest gift. Does not the Bible say, does not Paul say it's an unspeakable gift?
Yes.
It is an unspeakable. You can't tell it enough to what he give us. And he give us an example of service. Did he not? Let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Where we think of service and obedience. Do you realize what he gave? What he selfless and he surrendered and to become a servant? Huh? John 4:34. Let's look at it there. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's serving, ain't it? Not to do what I want to do. A servant does what his master wants him to do. I mentioned that this morning. Huh? You have trouble serving? Huh? You'll never lead if you don't know how to serve. You'll never lead if you don't know how to serve. And you'll never serve if you can't be obedient. Huh? You got to be obedient. Be all right with that? How about John chapter 5, verse 30? John chapter 5, verse 30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. But wait a minute. This is God speaking. Is it not? This is Jesus speaking, ain't it? What did he say? I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek what? Not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Is that a servant or what? If I want to have Christmas like Jesus, I need to be selfless. If I want to have Christmas like Jesus, I'm going to have to surrender. If I want Christmas like Jesus, I'm going to have to learn to serve. How about one more? How about John chapter 6? John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Ain't that amazing? Huh? I'm talking about just having Christmas like Jesus. Talking about having Christmas like Jesus. Are we still okay?
Yeah.
But see, it goes even further now. It goes further now. We got to have surrender and serve, and then the next one comes in together. Submission comes in with this. Because the made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Submission complete submission? I was reading about the Duke of Windsor, which would be the Prince of Wales. All right? And it said that he, now he's a prince, you understand. It said that he went down in the coal mine. He had a burden for coal miners. I was reading something about the mines. And he had a burden for coal miners. So he took off his crown and his robe and put on work clothes and a miner's hat and his light and went down into the mines and got with the people in that coal mine. Something none of them had ever done. None of the royalty had ever been down in the coal mine. Huh? But he did. Said that while he was down there fiddling around, he brought him a, knocked him out a chunk of coal and brought it with him so he'd never forget his experience. But the people had a different thought about him when he was down there in the mines with them. But you know what? He was still the prince. You follow me?
Right.
Now, even though he was down in the mine like everybody else, he was still the prince. Can I tell you tonight that though he left heaven, he was still king.
Yes. Right.
But he had to come in submission. He had to come in obedience. He had to come in submission. He had to lay everything aside that he could still keep his deity. Just to show you. But what needed to be done had to be done. I'm just telling you that sometimes we got to submit to the things around us. You can't change everything. Can I say that again? That even God don't change everything. He only changes those who will come to Him in faith believing. Are we okay? Does any of this make sense to you? I'm just talking about having Christmas like Jesus. Verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, what do we see there? How about a sacrifice? How about a sacrifice? Can I tell you, he was born to die. I don't know of anybody else. I've never read of anybody else that was born for that purpose, just to die. Now, I know people that were born and died, of course, but I don't know anybody that was the purpose. Do you? Does anybody here know anybody that for that purpose they was conceived on purpose just to die in somebody else's place? I don't know of anybody else that done that. He was born a sacrifice. Can I tell you, having Christmas like Jesus is going to require sacrifice. We've seen it today. We've seen a lot of people having Christmas like Jesus today. We've seen baskets filled and we've seen presents bought and wrapped. We've seen joy given to others. We've seen food given. We've seen gifts given. That's a sample.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not?
Yes.
That's a sample. Can I tell you, we need to be like that every day, though. We need to have Christmas. That'd be a good title, wouldn't it? Christmas 365 days a year. That would just be like Jesus. But that was all for the first Christmas. You agree? Talk to me.
Yeah.
Selflessness. Do you think it'd be good to be that way at Christmas? Talk to me.
Yeah.
Surrender. Think it'd be good?
Yeah.
How about to serve? Think it'd be good?
Yeah.
How about to submit? You think it'd be all right? Huh? How about sacrifice? Think it'd be all right?
Yep.
But that was the first Christmas. Can I tell you, verses 9 through 11 is the second Christmas. See, the first Christmas, Jesus came, did he not?
Yes.
His second Christmas, he's going to come again.
Yes, yes,
yes. That's what verse 9 says. Wherefore God has also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I tell you, I can't wait till the second Christmas. If we got all this on the first Christmas, wonder what we're going to get on the second Christmas. Huh? The first Christmas, we weren't there. The second Christmas, we're all going to be there. The first Christmas I read about. The second Christmas I'm going to experience. The first Christmas is more than I can tell. The second Christmas is going to be more than I can even experience. Huh? Christmas like Jesus. Just a thought tonight. Christmas like Jesus. Are you ready for Christmas? Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. And I know I'm going home.
Yep.
Can't you hear those bells ring, ringing joy, joy. Hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going. Back to my heavenly home, huh? Christmas. I'm just trying to give you some thoughts about Christmas. Get your mind off of trees and presents and debt. Huh? Get your mind off. I'm wore out. Christmas wears me out. Huh? I've heard it. Oh, I hate Christmas. Oh, I've got to go there and go. You don't have to do nothing. Don't sit and growl about things that you do that you don't have to do. You're not obligated to buy a gift. You're not obligated to cook a meal. You're not obligated to eat a meal. You're not obligated to go to a party, go to a gathering. You're not obligated to do nothing. So quit growling about Christmas. Huh? Quit growling about it. You're tired because you're doing too much. You're broke because you spend too much. You're aggravated because you can't have it your way. Don't run Christmas because that ain't what it's about. Christmas is about Jesus. When you say bah hug on Christmas, you're saying, you're sticking your tongue out at Jesus and saying bah humbug, Jesus. Because all this other stuff ain't Christmas. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? So if you get a bad attitude at Christmas, get right with God. Huh? Because you're looking in the wrong place. Christmas like Jesus. Father, I've tried to give just some simple truths out of your word. Lord, it'll help us if we'll listen. It'll help us if we do it. And Lord, I pray that this week that our dear people will have the greatest week they've ever had because they just focus on you. Help us to have a Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. We are having some